The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now, here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living. Thank you so much for joining us today on this beautiful fall day. I hope it is as beautiful where you are as it is here in New York. It's finally fall and I always feel invigorated this time of year. I am your host, Barbara Friesner, and my company is Age-Wise Living, and I am a generational coach. And as a generational coach, I help family members, the siblings, generally, usually the siblings, and help family members work together to figure out what the problem is and what is the solution to help their aging loved ones, usually their parents. And then together, I help them to work with their parents so that together they can confront the issues and not each other. And I work with the family members, never the seniors. So I coach the family members on how to work with their seniors. And since all the generational coaching is by phone, I can work with family members no matter where they are. And that's one of the things that I love is that we do conference calls and we can have all the siblings working together, figure out what the right thing is to do and how to share all the responsibilities and how to work with each other and help their parents, which is the most important thing. And by the way, if you're struggling with elder care issues, I really urge you to give me a call because I have a free Get Acquainted conversation, and you can tell me what's going on and see how I can help you resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Now, in addition to the one-on-one generational coaching, I am also an adjunct professor at Cornell University where I teach senior housing management. I write a weekly newsletter with lots of great articles and issues about seniors and their families, and you can find those newsletters on my website, agewiseliving.com. And I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and a monthly column for Caregiving in America, which is a new monthly national magazine. And I'm also the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. And you can find that on the shop page of my website, which is agewiseliving.com, and that takes my 25-plus years of experience because I was the care manager first for my grandmother for many years and then the past 17 years for my mother. So I take the 25-plus years of experience and put them all into a success system, which helps you to do it yourself. And because of my mother's dementia, dementia is a particular passion of mine, so I created a CD called Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing? And you can find that on the shop page of my website, but I also want to mention that next week I'm going to be doing a portion of that program, Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing? The whole program is going to be devoted to dementia and what it is and what it isn't and all of that, so I really hope that you join us next week as well. And to help people avoid problems before they happen, I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. And in fact, I am leaving tomorrow. I am heading off to Dallas to speak at the Employee Assistance Professionals Association World Conference. And I'm really excited about it because not only obviously it's an honor to be asked to speak there, but having it be a world conference means that elder care issues are finally getting the worldwide recognition that they deserve. Because up till now, you know, people weren't really talking about it on a global level. So I'm absolutely thrilled. I leave for Dallas tomorrow. And I have the show, Age Wise Living, because it is my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues in a way that their parents really want to make the change, not just have to. And by the way, I want to make sure that I'm covering issues that are important to you. And so I've created a one-question survey so you can tell me your most important elder care issue. Just one question. What's the most important elder care issue to you? And you can take this one-question survey by going to http://tinyurl.com/agewise. That's tinyurl.com/agewise. And I really appreciate it, and because I think the better the information that I get from you, the better this show will be, and the better able it will be to support you. So ultimately, I'm sure you'll appreciate it too. Now, moving, a huge issue for seniors, for anybody, is moving. And moving from one living situation to another is stressful for anyone. And it's even more so for an elderly person because a move later in life is not just another move. For most seniors, this move is probably the last one they'll make. And not only are they moving out, but chances are they're seriously downsizing, which means they're going to be getting rid of a lot of cherished possessions that they collected over a lifetime, which is particularly stressful and heart-wrenching and difficult. So, as I said, moving is difficult for everyone, but this one is especially hard, and that's why I'm so delighted to have on our show today Fritzi Mazzola-Grodeon, an expert on senior moves, and she's here to give us lots of advice and insight on this most difficult move. So hi, Fritzi, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, and I very much appreciate this opportunity to share the information that we have about our industry and the growth and how important it's become.
Well, that's great, and I'm delighted to have you. And let me give you a little bit about Fritzi's background. Fritzi Grodeon is an expert and frequent public speaker on gerontology practices and the experiences of elder family members. And, in fact, she was telling me earlier, she just spoke yesterday to a real estate organization. And in 2002, she founded Transitions USA, which provides placement, pack, and move services, home adaptation and gerontological environmental management, oof, that's a mouthful, home safety and downsizing and decluttering services. More recently, Fritzi's created a not-for-profit organization dedicated to assisting senior citizens, their adult children, and families through later life transitions. She's the author and managing editor of Hard Work, Heart Work, a blog discussing her experiences in the field and offering advice on issues that many American families are struggling with as circumstances force often unexpected change. And Fritzi is also a certified senior advisor and serves on the advisory board of the New York Care Planning Council and is a member of the National Association of Senior Move Managers, the member of the Association of Generational Experts for Seniors Network, Seniors Resource Group, Parent Care Connection, and several senior umbrella networks, and is on the executive board of Boy Scouts of America of Suffolk County in New York. So again, welcome, Fritzi, and again, I am so delighted to have you here because I think this is such an important topic.
Thank you so much. This is really delightful.
And I know how difficult moves can be because just when we had to move my mother from the house that she and my father had lived in for many years, they were very organized and everything, but it was just there was like 50 years worth of stuff. Now, so I really know how difficult this is. And first of all, how is a senior move management company different from any other kind of move company?
Well, primarily all movers are professionals, but our focus is really on the family and the process itself, because most of the people who are in our industry come from other parts of the caregiving world and then have chosen to get into this field. So it comes from a really caring point of view, but the business itself is the floor planning, the sorting and packing, then move coordinating, and then unpacking and resettling and recreating the house or recreating the home environment to the best of our ability, typically in a smaller space. But it's the final touches that really make the difference. Lots of moving companies will have packers and movers, and then they leave you with the boxes and good wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And senior move management companies will unpack and then set up the home, hook up the computers, etc.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It's something I didn't realize is that most senior move managers come from the other areas of the industry, of the senior industry rather than the moving industry, so that their focus is more on how the senior, or I suppose 51% at least, on how the senior is feeling and how they're doing it and how to make it better for them rather than just the physical move.
That's right. That's right. We have lots of the business owners all across the country have come from nursing, geriatric care management, social work, and have recognized this as a particular need for families and then have grown their businesses in that direction.
Wow. That's fascinating, because it really is something where it isn't, you know, it's not like you or me where we might be moving because we want to move, because we got a better house, we got a better job, we got something different. This is somebody who may be making a move that they didn't really want to make.
Right. And we have, there are some clients who really are eager to move, are happy to be making a forward step in their lives, but most of them are moving because of some kind of a trigger event. It could be a medical event or a family event, and that's oftentimes what causes the families and the elders to actually finally make the decision that they need to make.
Well, and I am eager to jump in and get some more information from you. Actually, we're going to stop right here for a short break. Time's already going fast. This is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to Age-Wise Living. And our guest today is Fritzi Mazzola-Grodeon. And when we come back, she's going to go into all the details about and answer the questions about how to successfully move your mom or dad. And to get more information about Fritzi, please go to Transitions USA, that's TransitionsUSA.com. And in addition, I mentioned earlier, Fritzi has a great blog, which you can read by going to heartwork@wordpress.com. Again, that's heartwork@wordpress.com. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we will see you shortly.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com, to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4 and a half.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
Gets those synapses in the brain inspired really bad.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Barbara Friesner, and today we are with Fritzi Grodeon, and she will be answering more questions about how to successfully move your mom. And as I said before, to get more information about Fritzi, you can go to her website, transitionsusa.com. And I really encourage you to go to her blog page, which is Hard Work, H-A-R-D, Hard Work, Heart Work, H-E-A-R-T, Work at WordPress.com, because it's a great blog, and she also has lots of information there. So, firstly, before we went on the break, we were talking about the difference between a senior move company and a regular move company. But I want to ask, I know that making a move later in life is complicated, and it's just, you know, complicated for anybody. I remember when I was much younger and was moving, I could put everything in the back of my Datsun B210 and move, and did. And now, I mean, I can't move because there's just so much stuff. I don't know what I would possibly do, and I don't know how I would possibly get rid of so many of the things that I want to, you know, save for the next generation, but I don't want to get rid of, and all that kind of stuff. So making a move later in life is really complicated. What do you do to make it easier for the elders and for their family members?
Well, the first thing we do is we respect the elders and their families and their decisions and what needs to happen for them. The second thing we do is we offer hope that there is a way through the process. And, in fact, we do have a plan and a process that is straightforward, one step at a time. Don't make all your decisions up front. And we can work with them to go through that process. But offering them hope is really... It's one of the first things that we do, just to try to calm the situation and say, okay, let's move forward. We recognize, we acknowledge that it's a difficult time, and then we try to set the process in motion so that people understand there's several steps to it, and we recommend taking the steps in a particular order so that it saves time at the other end, and it saves time for them in their whole process.
Yeah, and really that's important, to do it one step at a time, because, you know, I talk about how to eat an elephant one bite at a time, and with this survey that I was talking about earlier, one of the things came in that said, I know you talk about doing things one bite at a time, but where do you make the first bite?
Right.
And a lot of times that's the most difficult thing. I mean, I look around just my office and I think, oh my goodness, there's just, you know, where do you start? So where do you start? How do you know? What are some of the things to do in preparation? You know, what are the steps, I guess, is the question.
Well, one of the first things to do for everybody is just to acknowledge that this is not just another move, and that there are going to be adjustments in the new location that are going to be different. So people just need to acknowledge that, be sensitive to their own sense of loss or sense of change, and then move forward. But to the best of the first places to start is with kind of the initial space planning, in terms of where are you going and the volume of the space, the number of rooms, and just to give you a sense that that's going to be a smaller place, a different place. In some cases, we move someone to the same size space, but it does need to be adjusted. So just thinking about what your new home is going to be, where it's going to be, and what you need to take and what you would like to take, that's really the first step.
And what's going to fit, too, because I know there were things that
right.
we wanted to take for my mother, but they're just, you know, they're just the size. We went from a home, from a house, to a one-bedroom, small one-bedroom apartment in an assisted living. So, I mean, things just didn't fit.
Right, right. So the question really is what's necessary and what fits. Those kind of go along with the use of your floor plan. And also what is special. What's sentimental, and if there are alternatives, if you really have a very large desk, for example, that's been your station where you have really administered your life, but there is another piece of furniture that would serve as your desk that also may have some memories attached to it, then we kind of help you figure that out and say, you know, in this space, the very large desk won't fit. But acknowledging that you need to have a desk, you need to have a center of personal control, then perhaps this piece of furniture could be used as that, and that facilitates the decision process sometimes.
Okay, so the first thing really is to figure out where you're going and what you can take.
Right.
Okay, and then where do you go from there?
Well, after that, then you have to start to do some of the internal decisions in terms of what can go. And one of my favorite techniques is the use of Post-its in three colors. Now, some families go crazy and assign each child a different color.
Okay.
They put different colors all over the apartment, and I'm just, you know, I always pray that my packers are not colorblind, and we, you know, we pack this picture for the wrong sibling or whatever. But primarily, I ask people to start with three colors. Green for it's going with me. Red or a color that's equivalent to red for it's not coming, and that's like stop. It's going to stay or it's going to be donated or whatever. And then I encourage people to use yellow Post-its. And yellow, just like the caution, is it's kind of in the middle, and you don't have to have made all of the decisions. A yellow Post-it could mean I have made so many decisions today and I am just tired, but I want to finish this room, and I can't decide about that chair. So you
okay.
stick a yellow Post-it on it. And then it's like an affirmation to yourself. Okay, I have made decisions. Now, granted, there's a yellow decision in the room, but I have made them. Also, using Post-its, you can write names on them so that if they are going to go to family members. But at least it's proactive. At least the person feels like they are making the decisions. Sometimes the elders feel so overwhelmed, and sometimes the children or caregivers really take over being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lots of different kinds of family circumstances. But the use of the Post-its to say, okay, I want to take this, and I don't want this, and I am just too tired to keep making up my mind about things. But it's a tool, and it's
right.
a way to get started.
And it's a really simple thing, too. In that way, the kids can indicate green goes to Barbara and you know, whatever, so that also there's the distribution of things and everything in the room. And you said in this room, so clearly I'm assuming you're suggesting that they do one room at a time.
It's easier to do one room at a time, the same as it is for any of us who are trying to declutter our homes, you know.
Right.
It's back to the, you know, biting an elephant one bite at a time. You start with one room, or you start with the areas that you start with the bedroom because you know you're going to have a place to sleep. And kind of getting in, the closets are always tricky. Sometimes the closet decisions don't get made until we actually come to help with the sorting and packing. Also, if you have a lot of memorabilia, knickknacks, tchotchkes, those things, those decisions are often lengthy, and so taking one cabinet with lots of beautiful things that are part of your past or collections that you may have, those should really be done early in the process, and especially if collections are going to be available for sale or donation, then that gives everyone a heads up in terms of actually getting that accomplished in advance of the move, getting the things packed for donation, getting them packed for charity or for sale.
Let me ask you a question, because you're talking about the process and, you know, charities and all that sort of thing. When we moved my mother, we needed to move her right away. We took the things that were going with her, and we moved them into the assisted living, and then my sister and I were left trying to sort through the house. And we had allotted a month, which one would have thought would be plenty of time, although both my sister and I were working, and it turned out not even to be close to enough time. And I regret some of the things that we got rid of, because they're just, you know, it's just, there's nothing to do. How long are we talking about? How long the process? How long should it be?
It can really vary. I've had clients start a year in advance, and we have our consultation, and we lay out this plan that says, okay, next month tackle this, next month tackle that. Some families call me about a week and a half before the move and say, can you get in here and make all of these decisions and sort these things out? Or we are traveling in from out of state and we have 3 days. Please come and make it happen.
Yeah.
And so we do our best to accomplish that for in each scenario. So to the extent that someone can plan ahead. We have some clients who are, for example, purchasing into a life care community,
mm-hmm.
and they will not be moving until the summer of 2010. But I am starting to meet with them now, because with the real estate market, they want to make sure that their homes are as presentable as possible, as soon as possible. And I have some clients moving temporarily from a home into an apartment while they're waiting for the life care community to be finished.
Well, it's a process, and I would recommend that whatever you think it's going to be, double it, because boy, I wish we'd had the time to do that. We're going to stop right here for a short break. And again, this is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to AgeWise Living, and our guest today is Fritzi Mazzola-Grodeon. And when we come back, she is going to be answering more questions about how to successfully move your mom or dad in a later life situation. And to get more information about Fritzi, her website is transitionsusa.com. Again, that's transitions, TRANSITIONS, USA.com. And don't forget her great blog, which you can read by going to Hard Work, Heart Work, at WordPress.com. I also want to remind you that you can get a free copy of my Legal and Financial Organizer, which is a great thing especially as you're moving and you're finding things. This gives you a place to organize everything. And to get that, just go to AgeWiseLiving.com. So with that, we are going to take a short break, and we'll see you in a few.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now. Think of the world
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be
50 years from now.
Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at AgeWiseLiving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Fritzi Grodeon, and she is answering questions about how to successfully move your mom or dad, and how difficult a later life move is, and what to do, and how to make it successful. So I have some more questions for you, and one is that what are some of the important things to remember in preparation for a later life move?
The things in preparation are really just, and we touched on it a little bit ago, is really just preparing yourself and acknowledging the process.
Okay.
And then getting the physical part ready, the space planning, and beginning your decision process.
Okay. So, and I think really the mental issue is really such a difficult one because, you know, sometimes they don't. My mother had dementia, so she really didn't know what was going on, and it was terribly difficult for her. And leaving a home in which you've lived for a long time, whether it's, you know, 5 years or 50 years, is dramatic for anyone, certainly for the person who's lived there, but a lot of times for the children as well. So how does that affect your work? I mean, how do you help them through that process?
Well, the first thing we do is we really try to acknowledge how emotional it is, and we understand that it adds length to almost all of the decision process. In some cases, we can see where communication is difficult between the elders and the children.
Mm.
So we just encourage everyone to stay calm. That's, you know, my staff is busy packing, and I'm packing, and also, you know, in some cases, calming the family members, but we try to mediate, and I think having a process and understanding why we are there and the things that they can do to contribute to the success of the move, the ability to make the decisions, the acknowledgement that, yes, I only need 4 plates, 4 cups, 4 saucers, I don't need the service for 12, I don't need the second service for 12, because we're not going to be having the large holiday family dinners. In some cases, the children and the parents get along beautifully. We have very special times. They use this opportunity to share memories as well as to actively get things into boxes. In some cases, long-time difficulties and communications difficulties surface. And we do, you know, to the best of our ability, because we're there really to get the process accomplished, but we do try to mediate and keep everybody calm. Sometimes it's very interesting to watch the dynamic change when there's an opportunity to have a professional kind of in between and to take some of the listening on, some of mm-hmm. the stories the elders want to share. In some cases where they have only family that's long distance and we are really there as a substitute family member, then it's very important to listen while we keep working and let them share some stories and as we, you know, pack certain items because they may not have had a chance to share that story with a family member.
Yeah, and that's such a hard thing because, you know, it looks like a paper napkin, you know, but it turns out that's the napkin from when their husband and their first date and, you know.
Absolutely.
and it takes on a whole different significance. Have you had situations where there were just such tension and stress and fighting between the kids and the parents, or the kids and the kids, or, you know, where the whole thing looked like it might blow up?
Not that dramatic, because I've been known to kind of separate them, like send someone out for a cup of coffee and say, please, you know, let us do this, you know, let me take your mom, let me go take her to the bedroom, let's do this, why don't you and your sister get a cup of coffee and come back, and, you know, we'll start over. That happens really relatively rarely, because by the time we're into the process with the family, we've already established our own dynamic, and they understand the staff that's there to help them pack, and they, in some cases, they watch us, you know, put everything in bubble wrap and handle everything with care, so they can see the respect that we're showing to them in their lives.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, there are times when it's easier to just let us be the professional and handle it. And, you know, I'll tell people I'm a professional daughter, if that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people who are, you know, living in other parts of the country and only can come in for the consultation, I have to develop with them a sense of trust that when they go back and we are the only people working with the elder, that in fact they will get the kind of personal care that they really want. So we have a lot of responsibilities to the families besides just making sure that nothing breaks in the box between here and there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, and certainly, I mean, I was very fortunate to get along so well with my sister. I mean, we were very close, and my oldest sister came when we were moving her from the assisted living into the nursing home, which was practically nothing. My mother took practically nothing with her, but then her dementia was so bad it really wasn't, there wasn't that much that she was participating in. But I do know, and have worked with, as a generational coach, I've worked with families where the sibling issues and, you know, I want that piece and she wants this piece, and how do we struggle it out? Do you get into any of that kind of thing? How do you solve that?
We try to get that managed ahead of the process of actual packing and moving.
Okay.
And that's part of the decision, the technique with the Post-its, or because especially for long-distance caregivers and family members, we communicate a lot by phone and by email. We bring them up to date. When we do an inventory of the house and what's moving, then we can email them the inventory or mail it or whatever, just so that they're familiar with where we are in the process. So lots of those issues kind of get worked out before the day of the actual pack for the move to the new home.
Yeah, and I think that's really key, is communication, 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 that the idea of letting people know, because it's what you don't know that starts making you crazy.
Right, absolutely. And the fear that someone's going to swoop into town and take everything. We're not in a position to say no. If someone comes to town,
one
of the siblings comes to town and, you know, takes the dresser, I'm not, you know, I can't stand in the doorway and block the doorway and say, no, you can't take that dresser. That's a family issue. But for the furniture that's going with the elder to their new home, then absolutely that needs to be there and on our inventory and ready to go, packed and, you know, transported, and then we'll set it up in the new house and hang up the pictures and help them look forward to their new lives.
Yeah, no, having the new place be a home when they get there, and I know that's something that you have emphasized here and also in the past, is that the whole idea of that when they get there, it isn't just, because sometimes with a move, you're exhausted when you get there, you're in a new location, it's like, I don't know where any of these things go, and that's why people end up having boxes for years, that, you know, it's like, I got too tired, I didn't care, I didn't have any place to put it, and so it's really important to unpack everything and have all the mementos and things like that, so that when they first arrive, it's home.
Right, right. Or sometimes they arrive together, and then they'll go to lunch, and then when they come back, you know, more of the house is in order. We hung we moved a couple, absolutely lovely. Two of the five sons were there to help us. And the one who was an engineer had the floor plan already drawn for us, so that was lovely. And he said, you know, our five portraits go over the wall unit. So on the step stool, we hang five portraits over the wall unit while they're at lunch. He comes in and he says, those are our high school pictures. The college pictures go in the living room. Okay, so we take all of the high school, and he says, besides, they're in the wrong order. Well, truly, I'd only met the family 2.5 weeks before. I don't know the order of the high school pictures that these five brothers were. So he carefully lays them all out. I hang them in the bedroom for the parents, and my associate hangs the college pictures, which we now have in the right order, over the wall unit in the living room. So we get the whole process finished, and I said to the dad, I said, you know, you've made my life so hard, and I had this little expression on my face, and his face just sank. He goes, what did I do? I said, you had five. I said, if you had had two, my afternoon would have gone a lot faster. Well, burst into laughter. His wife was laughing. I said, you know, you two made it really tricky for me today. I said, you know, if you'd had two kids instead of five, it would have helped. So, you know, we do what we can to make the process, you know, as easy as we can. You know, sometimes it works. Sometimes people are just too exhausted. Sometimes we go back a day or two later or a week later when someone is now settling into the new environment and says, you know what, now I would like my pictures hung. Now I kind of know what I want to look at when I come in. And so we'll go back and do that. But we make sure all of the utilities, the computers, the phones, everything that is really vital, television, whatever's vital to their day-to-day, is really completed before we leave.
Yeah, and those are the kinds of annoying things that you have to do in advance, and then you have to wait for somebody to be there, and, you know, all of those other things. What are some other common, just in a couple of seconds that we have left, what are some of the other common utilities other than that, other notifications important?
Well, when they're leaving the house, besides the regular utilities and newspaper, cable TV, it's important also to remember you may need to change your driver's license, your voter registration. Things are going to happen down the road. Also, for families, sometimes there's multiple kinds of insurance, and Medicare supplement insurance, car insurance, life insurance, disability, long-term care. There may be an agent that needs to know that.
Yeah.
There may be bank accounts, investment accounts, physicians, dentists, the veterinarian.
Okay. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to stop right here for a short break. And again, this is Barbara Friesner. You're listening to AgeWise Living. And our guest today is Fritzi Mazzola-Grodeon. And when we come back, she's going to be answering more questions about how to successfully move your mom. And with that, we'll see you shortly.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone.
I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to Age Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and we are talking with Fritzi Grodeon, and she's answering questions about how to successfully move your mom or dad in the later life move, which is such a difficult one. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, Fritzi, is that what do you do when you have someone, a parent who has one or more pets? Because that can be tricky, I would imagine.
Yes, we have some suggestions. Make sure the pets have been to the veterinarian for their checkup and that you have the pets' records. You could probably put them in the Barbara Friesner organizer along with the other papers that you have. And to try to keep the pets' routine as normal as possible, figuring out exactly how they're going to get transported. I had a cat in a little carrier in my van driving to Brooklyn one day, as a matter of fact. So, but keeping the pet's belongings together and kind of the last-minute box. We have a last box for our clients, and a last box, a little checklist for your pet, is the food dish and the water and the food, medicine, toys.
And your favorite toys, I would imagine.
Favorite toys, their bed, and then some item of yours with your scent, because with lots of people moving around and in a new location, those scents are not going to be familiar. So if there's something that you have that could also go with those things so that the pet knows that you are still there with them, then that'll help you both.
Great. And also, obviously, making sure that the people at the other end will allow you to have a pet.
Oh, well, yes, I'm sorry. I've actually had
people who were, you know, throughout all of the coaching, they, you know, it never came up. And then there was something about, oh, but they don't take pets, and now mom says she won't go. And I'm like, oh, my God, what pet? So to make sure that at the other end they do accept it. So.
Right.
Now, one of the things that I wanted to also ask you about is, you know, making sure that you can get rid of a lot of the other stuff, because I know that's one of the most difficult things. When we were moving my mother, it was literally 50 years worth of stuff, and on top of that, both of my parents were only children, so they got everybody in their family's stuff, and they were completely organized. I mean, incredibly well organized. But there was stuff. I mean, they had a rock collection, and it's not just walking on the beach and picking up a rock. They had some really stunning, beautiful rocks, and they were very carefully in the plastic drawers and all the, you know, that sort of thing, which we eventually donated to a high school who was absolutely thrilled to have it. I mean, there had to have been a couple hundred rocks in this beautiful collection. But the hard thing was getting rid of all of these things, and we were, just my sister and I, moving, you know, her into an assisted living and going through the house,
and really didn't know what to do. And the senior center had agreed to take a lot of the stuff, and then there was a hurricane, so they couldn't take the stuff because the place they were going to store it for a tag sale flooded. I mean, what do you do? How do you deal with, you know, all the things that need to go to appraisers and tag sales and just getting rid of things that are valuable, but you don't know where to send them? What do you do?
Well, as part of our first consultation, we kind of go through an inventory and see where those pieces are and then try to find the best resources. In our own local area, we have quite a network now of appraisers, tag sales, estate sale professionals, and depending on what it is, I have a book specialist, for example. I have found a local university that will take World War II memorabilia, and it's just a matter of reaching out to as many sources as possible. Some of the public libraries will take books. Some public libraries will not. So depending on the community, in some cases, some of the charities will also come pick things up to be donated. Other charities need things delivered. So we kind of take a look at what is going to not go with the client and which of those services best match what we need to do for them. And in some cases, there's just household items that need to go to a charity that will simply pick them up or... And frankly, even in my own home, things that just need to go into the trash can, you know, that you've had for a long time. So, but we work very carefully to manage their expectations and to look if there are special collections or if they have specific charities. I had a physician, he wanted his medical books driven into New York City to his medical school. So we boxed them all up and we did that for him. And so we try to match the client's desires with some expeditious process and the results. We also, you know, can find consignment folks, eBay sellers, and if there are more than one person, then we invite them to interview. We invite the client to interview two or three people. If they're not sure about a tag sale person, then I will help coordinate and let them interview the people to see that who they feel comfortable selling their things.
That's great, and that's a good thing to do. If you make sure that you have enough time in order to do that, because that's a great thing to do. Now, this obviously is something that's very important. I mean, I honestly did not. I sort of knew. I thought I knew what a senior move manager was, but apparently not. So, because I'm learning so much today, how can people find a good senior move manager? What do you recommend they do?
The National Association of Senior Move Managers. The website, NASMM.org, and all of the senior move managers who are members of the National Association are on there. There's a map of the United States. You click on your state, and then it'll give you everyone in the state and their service area. So if, for example, in New York, there's a company that services Rochester. That's outside my service area. And you can kind of scroll through and see who they are. If they are members of the association, they abide by a code of professional ethics. They are insured and bonded and meet the standards of that trade organization in order to be members.
That's great. And again, that's National Association of Senior Move Managers.com?
Org.
Dot org. National Association of Senior Move Managers.org. And we actually have run out of time. I can't thank you enough because this has been absolutely fascinating. But that's all the time we have today. And so, again, I'd like to thank you so much. My guest was Fritzi Mazzola Grodeon. And you can get more information about Fritzi by going to her website, which is transitionsusa.com, and to read her blog. And I really encourage you to do that. It's hard work, heart work at wordpress.com. And if you have any questions for Fritzi that you didn't get a chance to ask, just email them to me at barbara@agewiseliving.com, and I will put her answers in next week's AgeWise Living newsletter. And to sign up for that, you can go to agewiseliving.com. And while you're there, also, please don't forget to get a free copy of my Legal and Financial Organizer, because it's a great way of getting all those various and sundry legal and financial documents organized. Really encourage you to tune in next Tuesday morning, October 27th at 10 a.m. Eastern, and I'm going to be talking about dementia, the entire program, what it is, what it isn't, etc. So please do tune in, and please tell all your friends about it. Tweet about it and Facebook about it, because it's so important. I had a great time today. I want to thank you all so much for listening. So until next week, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific week, and carpe diem, seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Take control of your